Affairs Report, 30 minutes of conversation designed to make you better aware of the world around you. The World Affairs Report is brought to you by the World Affairs Council of Pittsburgh in cooperation with KQV News Radio. The World Affairs Council is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that has been bringing the world to Pittsburgh for over 80 years. To learn more about the council and upcoming events, please visit worldpittsburgh.org. And now, the World Affairs Report.
Welcome, everyone. I'm your host, Anna Harrison, and with me today is Som Sharma, our guest this week. Mr. Sharma is the founder of Ahimsa, the Alliance for Humanitarian Initiatives, Nonviolence, and Spiritual Advancement, a forum for programs on nonviolence and peacebuilding. He is a former president of the Monroeville Interfaith Ministerium and has been involved in the interfaith movement for over 20 years. Mr. Sharma studied industrial administration in the United Kingdom and completed his MBA degree at Indiana University in Bloomington. He has organized many Mahatma Gandhi birthday celebrations over the past 20 years, working together with the University of Pittsburgh, Carnegie Mellon University, Rotary Club, and many other organizations. Welcome, Som, and thank you for being here.
Welcome. Nice to be here.
We're delighted to have you. We're here today to talk about October 2nd, Mahatma Gandhi's birthday, which is also the International Day of Nonviolence per a United Nations declaration in 2007. Gandhi helped lead India to independence and inspired movements for civil rights and freedom across the world. His novel mode of mass mobilization and nonviolent action brought down colonialism, strengthened the roots of popular sovereignty, of civil, political, and economic rights, and greatly influenced and inspired leaders like Nelson Mandela and Martin Luther King Jr. For the past 15 years, you've organized an annual birthday celebration in partnership at the University of Pittsburgh. This year's celebration is titled Creative Activism, the Legacy of Gandhi, and will be held from 2 to 5 p.m. on Sunday, October 1st at the Frick Fine Arts Auditorium at the University of Pittsburgh. Tell us more about the celebration and tell us a little bit about what motivates you to celebrate Gandhi's birthday year after year.
Well, Mahatma Gandhi has been very special to me, and my privilege has been that when I was growing up, of course as a child, I heard Mahatma Gandhi on the radio. There was no television those days, and radio was the only means, especially in the Indian background. Mm-hmm. But radio was the source, and I heard him, and he was very inspiring. And besides me were my adults, my parents and other people who were actually very much involved with Mahatma Gandhi's movement of nonviolent means to get freedom for India. That has been my involvement and inspiration, and the journey has continued since then.
Tell us a little bit about the celebration. Is it who's speaking, and what do you hope to accomplish this year?
Yes, you said that I've been organizing it for 20 years. As a matter of fact, we can even go back maybe more than about 25 years. But Ahimsa has been organizing it for some 15 years. This year, since it is the 15th anniversary, the program will be again in collaboration with University of Pittsburgh and Carnegie Mellon and a few other Indian organizations, especially the SV Temple and the Hindu Jain Temple and the Rotary Club of Monroeville and many other organizations. Even Carlo University is on board this year. The program will be at Frick Fine Arts from 2 to 5 p.m. 2 to about 3 o'clock is social hour, snacks, and some activity desks in the cloister area in Frick Fine Arts auditorium. And then we'll move indoors in the auditorium. And we are proud to say our chief guest this year is the county executive, Rich Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm. He was approached, and he was the response we get from his office was that he was very happy to accept this. And he will speak about the leadership of Mahatma Gandhi, how it has influenced people around the world. Mm-hmm. And we hope he'll actually talk about creative aspects of creative activism of Mahatma Gandhi. Other important things of this program are which we have started a few years ago, because our approach is, our hope is to reach young people.
Mm-hmm.
We encourage children to write essays on Mahatma Gandhi.
Okay.
And middle school children have written the, in fact, I got a report earlier today that many essays are in, and they are just being judged by a panel of three judges.
What was the essay prompt this year? What did they have to write about?
They have to write about the same creative activism of Mahatma Gandhi. But being middle schoolers, we don't enforce it that strictly. As long as they pick up some aspects of Mahatma Gandhi, our goal is to, through them, also to reach out to their parents and encourage them to read or learn more about Mahatma Gandhi. So again, the winners, three winners of the essay contest, will read their essays before the audience.
On Sunday?
On Sunday.
Oh.
And yeah, that is a, although his, as you said, his birth date, his date of birth is October 2nd, but for convenience of the public, we celebrate it on Sunday.
Of course.
From 2 to 5, and Sunday is the 1st of October. Beside that, there will be some cultural performances. Again, as best as possible by students of Pitt and CMU and any other institutions. And they will be, here the important part, Mahatma Gandhi, as is, I'm sure, pretty well known, he had daily prayer meetings, and his daily prayer meetings were interfaith. So our program also starts with interfaith prayers. We sometimes find it difficult to accommodate too many faiths because of time constraint, but we'll at least have three or four different faiths represented. So they talk about the importance of peace and nonviolence in their scriptures and offer prayers on their behalf. So far, I have confirmation from Christian faith, from Sikhs, from Baha'i faith, and from Islam. I'm a Hindu myself. I'll not be saying the prayer, but my presence is there. There might be somebody else saying. So interfaith prayers, cultural programs, children's essays, and then a talk by the chief executive, Rich Fitzgerald. Those are the highlights of the program. Now, the other thing we are doing this year, we have dabbled into it earlier, is something called Create Peace Art. Started with the idea that we have children drawing peace, but then our planning committee decided, while restricted only to drawing peace, if they think of anything else, the idea of peace poles was discussed. Peace poles would be a little of a very involved project, at least for this year. So we settled on Create Peace. So in children or anybody else, they want to have any ideas about peace and nonviolence and create an art form, about it, we'll accept that. So there'll be some displays, and there'll be a video on creating art for peace.
How old would Gandhi be today if we celebrated his birthday?
He was born in 1869, so I would say he would have been about close to 150 years, I think about 148.
How do you feel that children can learn about Gandhi's messages? And do you think that peace for Gandhi meant something else than it does today? How has the world changed, and how can children learn how to apply his lessons even today?
That's an excellent point that you bring up. As is well known, Mahatma Gandhi changed the whole direction of freedom movement for India. Instead of fighting with guns and bullets, he said we should try to convert the hearts and minds of the oppressor. So he adopted the non-violent methods of civil disobedience and hunger strikes and mass mobilization of people by showing that if you are willing to sacrifice your own life, then the oppressor will have to see reason that there is some strong commitment for which you are willing to even die. So he changed the whole course. Now, how children can learn is an important aspect. That's what we focus on. Amongst many other, people are writing about Gandhi all the time. It's increasing. There's some people think, although he lived 150 years ago, and India got independence about 70 years mm-hmm. ago in 1947, but Gandhi is being studied, there are scholarships mm-hmm. on it, and there are talks and things being talked. In 1982, there was an important movie called Gandhi, mm-hmm. which actually draw attention to his work.
Is that the one with Ben Kingsley?
Ben Kingsley,
as the
yes.
actor, yes.
Yeah, but Richard Attenborough was the actor. And since then, there have been a couple others, but there are movements mm-hmm. following Mahatma Gandhi's methods. As is well known, Martin Luther King Jr. was influenced by mm-hmm. Mahatma Gandhi. Something that a lot of people do not mm-hmm. notice, I might as well use this forum to bring that to people's attention. When Martin Luther King Jr. delivered his famous I Have a Dream speech,
yes.
you see a lot of black people standing behind him.
Yes.
They were wearing a certain kind of a white hat. That was Gandhi's cap.
Oh, to represent Gandhi's
that
messages.
That was Mahatma Gandhi's cap.
I didn't realize that. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people do not. That's why I thought I'll mention
it. That's a wonderful form.
Now, what we try to do also, not with so far with a great success, but we have initiated that around this time, sometime in late August or September, we request libraries to display Gandhi books.
Okay.
And we do hold programs in various schools to educate children about Mahatma Gandhi. So those are other resources that they can go to.
You're the founder of Ahimsa, which is the Alliance for Humanitarian Initiatives, Nonviolence, and Spiritual Advancement. What kind of work does this alliance do? And can you talk about some of the humanitarian initiatives that its name mentions?
Yes, definitely. As the name suggests, the word Ahimsa comes from Hindu faith, and Mahatma okay. Gandhi was a Hindu, but of course he was an interfaith personality, a world personality of pursuing. His daily prayers started with prayers from different faiths all the time. So I picked up that name. Ahimsa means non-violence in Hindi and Sanskrit. Now, we so far have been mainly focusing on bringing Mahatma Gandhi's teachings to people. We do plan to undertake other things. We have done a few things on the spiritual side, you know, holding seminars, especially on the interfaith, mm-hmm. understanding different faiths mm-hmm. and where they come from, and dealing with each other. On the humanitarian side, we do organize from time to time some campaigns to help out with things like food for the poor. I'm personally a volunteer for Meals on Wheels, and there are a few other people that do it. And we raise a little bit of money and give to some charities wherever we can. But so far, the main focus is Mahatma Gandhi's life and celebrating his birthday in an interfaith way.
If you're just joining us, welcome back to the World Affairs Report. We're here with Som Sharma, founder of the Alliance for Humanitarian Initiatives, Nonviolence, and Spiritual Advancement, discussing Mahatma Gandhi's birthday on October 2nd, internationally recognized as a Day of Nonviolence. This Sunday, October 1st, join him in a celebration of Gandhi's birthday at 2 p.m. and at the University of Pittsburgh with the theme of Creative Activism, The Legacy of Gandhi. I want to go back to a theme that you've been bringing up, which is the interfaith movement. And you've been involved with this for many, many years. Can you speak a little bit more about your background, what motivates you, and what does interfaith look like in the Pittsburgh area?
Very good point again. Yes, I've been involved in interfaith movement going back definitely more than 25 years. Mm. Then, of course, gradually through that, I got involved and became president of Monroeville Interfaith Ministerium, and then continued as treasurer for many years. Interfaith, what motivates me is, I would say, primarily two things. My own faith, Hinduism, and Mahatma Gandhi's teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Both teach the same lesson, because Hindus believe that God is one, communities, people, call it by different names. There is, of course, a Sanskrit mantra or shloka for it. Ekam sat vipra bahudha vadanti. And Mahatma Gandhi further practiced it. And what I grew up personally with, you know, back in India in my college days, etc., with a lot of people of different faiths around me. And what I found was, as long as we were good friends, trying to understand each other, we were all right. But then when you see differences coming up and people become fanatic, that is when problems arise. And my faith and Mahatma Gandhi's teachings tell us that that is simply a misconstruction of anyone's faith. No faith, to the best of my knowledge, teaches hatred or violence. So that's what we try to not just preach, but as in Mahatma Gandhi's words, practice what you preach. I'm sure you're familiar with his very famous saying, be the change you want to see in the world. And that is where we see the value of his work, especially today, that we need to adopt non-violent, peaceful ways to continue the dialogue instead of threatening each other with bombs like what we are facing right now. You know, like North Korea comes to mind. And I, God willing, God forbid, if something bad happens, that would be an end to humanity. As Mahatma Gandhi said, an eye for eye leave the whole world blind.
Absolutely.
The non or the interfaith movement in Pittsburgh area is growing and is very strong. I am blessed that I'm in touch with many of them. And as I mentioned in our conversation earlier, September 25th is another international day. It's called International Day of Peace, which was celebrated again recently. And it's again an interfaith program. Actually, it is the planning group is composed of interfaith leaders.
Exactly.
And I was fortunate to be a part of it this year. This is held on Mary of the Mount on Mount Washington.
Oh, beautiful.
And there's a beautiful parade of flags of 195 countries on that scenic point of Pittsburgh. There are very active anti-race and interfaith groups around town. Monroeville has been a very active group. I'm also, this did not come up, but since you brought up this point, I'm also a member of the Forbes Hospital Clergy Advisory Group. And we organize an interfaith breakfast or prayer meeting almost every 2 years. It was started some time ago. And it's a sight to behold when people of different faiths are sharing the same stage and offering prayers from the different faith perspective. I must mention, which I do not personally have a great involvement, but I know that South Hills Interfaith Ministerium, now it's called South Hills Interfaith Movement, does a wonderful job. It's a very organized, large program. They run a food pantry of their own. Most other interfaith groups do not, but they pitch in. So, and there are major organizations, one in which I am more involved, a couple of them actually, is called PIN, Pennsylvania Interfaith Network. And then there is a Greater Pittsburgh Interfaith Coalition. Both do a great job. They hold seminars, and PIN actually holds takes up many active issues affecting people. So interfaith movement around Pittsburgh is very strong and growing.
You mentioned that growing up you listened to Gandhi on the radio, and that your parents were also very involved with his movement. Is there something specific or an incident that occurred that you can remember that made you realize that this was a way in which you wanted to live your life? Was there anything pivotal that you remember about your parents' involvement with the movement that Gandhi led?
Yes, my parents' involvement, and more so my wife's parents' involvement. Now, some of the things that were happening at that time, there were many things that influenced our thinking. One of the techniques that Gandhi used was, well, I must give you a little bit of a background. What was happening at that time was,
exactly,
the British, who were ruling India at that time, would take raw material from India, send to factories in England, get it, for example, cotton, processed, made into cloth, and then cloth brought back to India and sold. So that was depriving Indians themselves of their livelihood. They were not learning the new technology. In other words, destined to be British slaves for mm-hmm. rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
To protect that, or to protest against that, Gandhi started a movement in which he said, boycott foreign goods. In Hindi, there is a word called Swadeshi, that is something your own country.
Okay.
So produce your own material and use it. So he started a program. That is where a famous symbol of Mahatma Gandhi is a spinning wheel. It's called a charkha.
Okay.
Spinning wheel is that you spin your own cotton and then weave your own cloth and wear it.
Instead of buying it.
Instead of buying
okay.
it. So as a corollary to that, what happened was that people who had been buying foreign goods or importing them, they were requested to bring them out and burn in a bonfire. And millions of people did. That was a moving experience, that we become self-sufficient. If our means are meager, we learn to live with our meager means and earn our livelihood and be proud of it. So he wore, and all his followers at that time wore, a very coarsely woven material called khadi. There are, even today in India, there are storerooms which are khadi, and they're called gramodyog, that is village, rural industries. So that was one of the thing. The other thing was, Gandhi said, if there are unjust laws, they must be challenged. There was a law at that time, the British imposed a tax on people who were making salt from seawater for their own consumption. And the British imposed a tax on it, and Gandhi said, no, that is a basic necessity of people, and they are producing on their own, there should be no tax on it.
Were they selling it, or it was just a tax just because you're producing it?
Well, mostly using it for themselves, but there okay. were some people had made some livelihood out of that and selling it. That is a very well-known, most well-known of, or amongst the many other campaigns, there's a very well-known campaign that he mobilized people, and his method of mobilization was to walk through the countryside. So he walked for 24 days, during which he covered 240 miles. So he walked 100 miles every day.
Every day.
So as he was walking, the villages kept joining, and it became a huge caravan. So hundreds of thousands of people walked with him. Those things have left some impression that to convey a message to people in authority and power, there are other means that you can adopt, and that is a means of the soul force. As a matter of fact, a lot has been written on soul force by activists in this country, in our country. So he would rather use soul force and peaceful methods than fight against with batons or bullets or guns.
Do you think the theme of this year's birthday celebration for Gandhi is creative activism? And I'm struck by that word, activism. Would Gandhi say that there's a difference between activism and protesting? How would he make the line of definition?
Well, I don't know if Gandhi would make that distinction.
Okay.
In a way, he would. But what we feel today, what we mean by activism is that it's not enough to read about him and be just academic and appreciate his thought that, oh, he did great things, because you have to act on your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we mean by that if you believe in something very strongly, you need to act on it. Now, maybe I should take you back a little bit to Mahatma Gandhi's own development. Not that it's not so well known. Mahatma Gandhi was an attorney trained in England, so he was highly educated himself. And then he became an attorney in India. Then he was called by a businessman to South Africa, where there were a lot of Indians and Indian businesses. So to represent them, again, South Africa was also a colony of the British. They needed an attorney who knew how to deal with it, how to present their case. And he spent off and on close to 20 years in South Africa.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that long.
I could be wrong, but I think it was close to that.
But he was young when he went over, correct?
He left his wife. He was very young, okay. And that is where one of the things to which we can relate in this country, in our culture here, that to represent, to make an appearance in a court, he was traveling by train, and his employer bought him a first-class ticket. And he was sitting in first-class ticket when a ticket checker comes in and asks him to leave the coach. Mahatma Gandhi said, well, I have a first-class ticket, and I'm entitled to be in this. But he was thrown out on the platform. Physically, that being a non-white person, he was not entitled to travel in first class. That shook him up, and he said he must take up causes for the people. So that was a moving things for himself and for his followers.
That was a catalyst. Yeah. Well, we could talk about Gandhi for hours, and we could talk about the interfaith movement, the nonviolence movement for hours. We've been listening to KQV 1410 AM in the World Affairs Report. Our guest today has been Sam Sharma, and we've been talking about Gandhi's legacy and the International Day of Nonviolence. This year's celebration is titled Creative Activism, the Legacy of Gandhi, and will be held on Sunday, October 1st from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Frick Fine Arts Auditorium at the University of Pittsburgh. This is Anna Harrison, and it has been my pleasure to be your host for this week's program. We hope you'll join us next week, and thanks for listening.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the World Affairs Report, brought to you by the World Affairs Council of Pittsburgh in cooperation with KQV News Radio. The World Affairs Council is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that has been bringing the world to Pittsburgh for over 80 years. To learn more about the council and upcoming events, please visit worldpittsburgh.org. Be with us again next week when we take a 30-minute look at issues of global importance.